Blog Talk Radio.
At last, love has come along. This is the relationship show. Relationship show. Talking about relationships. Relationships are hard, but it's even harder if you don't have the information. We want to make sure you have the information. The information is what people need today in relationships. We're going to talk about relationship fraud today. Relationship fraud. Relationship fraud is one of the biggest things that ever happened to relationships because people don't understand how powerful relationships can be when people are trying to mislead you. And that is the biggest thing that's happening in relationships today. People get misled. People get tricked. They get hoodwinked. They get really to the point where they don't have a clue of what's going on because they're looking for love so hard. If you look for love real hard, sometimes you find it and sometimes you don't. We got some upcoming events that's coming up that's going to be a big one. My birthday party. If you haven't been to one of my birthday parties, then you are truly missing a treat because I celebrate life. I believe that life is hard, but you should live it. There's a difference in living and living. Sometimes people are alive, but they're not living. And I believe that you should live every day to the fullest of what you think a day should be. Don't ever let a day go by that you are not living a life of joy. So you need to come out to my birthday party if you want to see what it feels like to be what I call living. Come out to my birthday party. We'll be right back. Perpetrating the fraud when it comes to relationships.
I mean, it's been going on since the beginning of time, and it's not changing. People are still perpetrating the fraud. The thing now, though, is internet technology has killed the player. You can't perpetrate a fraud because they can vet you. They can pull up an app and do a background investigation on you. They can find out whether you've been locked up, whether you've been molested or the sex offense registry. They can find out things about you in that category. They can also find out whether you're married. It's a matter of public records. They can go up and find out if you're married, if you ever been married, how many times you've been married. They can also find out if you're where you live. If somebody gives you an address, they can look it up on the satellite, look at your house, see if it's raggedy, see if the lawn's been cut, see if they mess around here and say, well, this house looks raggedy from the outside, I don't even want to go by there to go inside the house. You know, they can't perpetrate a fraud. To me, if a person say, I'm buying my home, and they give you the address, they can check it out and say, hey, he's not buying that home. He may live in that home, but that's not his home. They can vet you nowadays. So relationship fraud on that point is kind of hard to do. But what is still easy to do is relationship fraud of the heart. People can mess with your heart, relationship fraud your heart. And that's the baddest part of a relationship sometimes, when you're fraudulently deceived that love is real and your heart got involved, because your heart can't vet love, not to some degree. Love will vet you. If you mess around here and open your heart up, you can be fraudulently deceived that you're in love. And that's where it caused people to go on the internet dating. The person is chatting with them in the room, the chat room. They're texting back and forth. They're Skyping. They're FaceTiming. And then once they get that person's heart, then they hit them with the fact, I want to come see you, but I'm in Texas. I really got to see you, but I don't have no airfare. Could you send me some airfare? And in some cases, the person will send them airfare, $300 to $400, and they never get on the plane. Relationship fraud. What do you do in that kind of case, Marilyn?
Well, I had to sit here and smile as I was listening to you. And I said, listen at Russell, giving these people all these ideas. I just want to say, as I'm listening, I'm not going to encourage anyone to commit the fraud. Because as I was listening, I'm like, well, hey, if I'm in a bad relationship or if I've been hurt, I might want to try some of that. But I'm saying, okay. I said, Russell just gave them the way in. But I had to smile because I was looking at a Facebook posting on last night. And it's amazing that you said that, because it was along the same line. There was this couple. It was an African-American couple. And, you know, the lady was there and everything. And she found this little, like a band that goes on your hair, and it had a piece of hair on it. And her boyfriend was sitting there, and she said, whose hair is this? Well, she said, what is this, first of all? He said, it's yours. And then she said, well, whose hair is this on it? And he said, oh, it's your hair. She said, it's not my hair. My hair is black. She had, you know, this long black weave. It's not my hair. My hair is black. He said, yes, it is. It's your hair. So she had her little briefcase there. She took out the briefcase, put on her gloves, and took out her little flashlight, and she did a reading on it. And it said, this hair belongs to a 24-year-old white female. And he couldn't say anything. So that's why I had to laugh, because that's exactly what people do. You know, they because when you're going to that extent and you are sneaking out on someone, you know what you're doing. The other person generally finds out. I was talking to another young lady where this man was actually living with her, had been living with her, and had a child that turned 3 years old, and she just found out. He wasn't even working or anything, just living off of her. Had a child 3 years old, and now it's like, you got to go. But it's like, I can't understand how someone could do that. And that's one of the questions that I ask frequently is, why won't people just be true to the situation? Because, first of all, if you have to go out and sleep around with someone else, then evidently you're not totally pleased or satisfied with where you are. But just be honest. Have that established up front. we're going to make this commitment, we're going to be in this relationship, and if anything ever goes wrong, we should be able to come to the table. But then people have to be able to accept that, the woman as well as the man. If you're in a relationship, you have this commitment, hey, things are great, we're going to keep it going as you and me. But if something goes wrong, you should say up front, if, hey, if something goes wrong, if I start feeling like I'm not quite there, then babe, I'm going to come and talk to you. But we both have to be able, even if you're not ready, you have to be able to accept it if someone comes to you and tells you that. Not that it's going to be easy, but when you think about it, if you don't accept it, what does that mean? It means that you're frustrated, you become depressed. Whereas if you're in the mindset that, okay, if it comes to that, then you should take that as an opportunity. Well, hey, I'm not really loved and appreciated anyway. So take that as an opportunity to meet someone else and go on with your life. I think that's one of the biggest problems. People get stuck, like you said. And I said it before and I'll say it again. Once I heard this minister say, why do you let this one person control your life when there are a billion other people in the world? And I think you really need to think that way. But at the same time, you need to be true to it. But if both people, I still believe if both people are on the same page and have the same outlook, then we wouldn't have so much of that. But people think they can get away with it. And like you said, I think it's harder to get away with it today, like you said, than it was years ago because of the technology, you know. I don't think it was intended for that at the level it's being used. But, hey, we need to be aware that it is that you can't go anywhere. I was looking at a news article, and it said basically you don't have any privacy. I mean, if you use a computer, a phone, or anything, then you're right. Everything is up for grabs. Do I think that's good? No. I think technology is good. It's beneficial. But as with many things, we take it out of context. We use it for the wrong reason, and it gets in the wrong hands for the wrong reason, and it takes us down another path. But even with all of that being said, just think about it. If a man and a woman are in a relationship, you can still overcome all of that if you communicate and you make up your mind and you want to be true to a single person. I still believe that it is possible just simply by, you know, communicating and knowing what you want. And if both people are honest, that's the whole thing. It takes both people being honest. But I have to say amen to what you said because that's exactly what's happening today.
It's absolutely correct. People don't realize that you got to be upfront and real today. If you're in love, say you're in love. If you care, say you care. If you're going to be true, be true. If you're going to lie, then don't get involved with the aspect of relationships. You can't lie today, and it'll come out in the wash. You might not have a man if. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to touch upon you might not have a man. Give you some signs to let you know you may be experiencing relationship fraud. We'll be right back. You've been bamboozled. Some people can handle hurt. Some people can handle being misled, and some people can't. As a Prince George County police officer, I went on many suicide attempts and actual suicide because somebody left somebody. They got bamboozled. They got hoodwinked. And when it happened, they didn't want to live no more. They basically said, I want to commit sideways.
I want to take myself out of this world because this individual left me or this woman don't want me no more. And it's sad when you've been beat up by love and you can let love beat you to the ground. Everybody gets beat or have what they call hoodwink or bamboozle. Everybody plays the fool sometime. Nobody gets by. There's not one person on this earth that can say love did not bamboozle them. They've been fooled by love. They thought the girl loved them, went out and bought flowers, went out and rented the car, the limousine, got a box of chocolates and got up to the door, and the person said, what are you here for? It's Valentine's Day. I'm not your Valentine, and took the box of chocolates and threw them in their face. But he didn't see it coming because that was the love of his life. How many times has a guy looked at a woman across the room in a club and sent her bottle of champagne over to the table, and the girlfriends and everybody drinking the champagne, and he walked over to the table and said, I bought the bottle of champagne. She looked up at him and said, thank you. And he said, do you want to dance? She said, I don't dance. God bless you. Bamboozled, hoodwinked. So what you got to do is realize that you got to read the tea. You got to read the tea leaves. You just can't go out and let Cupid hit you to the point where you can't read the tea leaves. You got to know, might not be your woman if, or might not be your man if. And I want to give a couple examples. Might not be your woman if she has caller ID and you don't have index finger retrieving privileges. Might not be your woman. If she walks into a club and 10 to 15 men know her by her first name, and as they dance, you can tell it's not just a dance, it's been a prance. And these people are way ahead of you as far as relationship-wise and sexual-wise, that she done been to the mountaintop, looked over and seen the promised land with more than one people who know her by name. Might not be your woman. Might not be your man if he basically don't call you at all. All day goes by, he don't call you. Might not be your man if he don't open doors for you. He's not concerned about you. He never took you to a movie. Might not be your man if you are supposed to be his woman and he never tells nobody that you are. You are an unannounceable woman. You are the background woman. You're somebody who nobody knows that you exist. Might not be your man. Give me some examples, Marilyn, of what you can tell when somebody's been bamboozled or they've been hoodwinked in a relationship from a woman's perspective.
Okay, if you if there's a woman who, you know, like you said, you're there and you're reaching out to her and her mind is always somewhere else, or she's always got something else to do. You know, you call, you made plans, but it's always a constant delay or rescheduling. That should be a sign. Because generally, if a woman is into a man and really excited about him, hey, she'll be waiting for the phone to ring or waiting for him to come. But if she always has an excuse or something else to do, that should be a sign. And I think that's one of the biggest ones that I can think of with a lady, you know, coming up with excuses. Because I'm just saying, with a woman, you know, women are emotional people. And so if she's really excited about a man, she really wants that man, she's going to be true to that relationship, then she's going to go out of her way to make sure that he's welcome, he's there, and he knows that. Because with women, you know, the insecurity thing, so she doesn't want another woman creeping in if she's that much into you. So a big cue to the man would be is if you're trying to get somewhere and, you know, she doesn't have time, doesn't have the moment, then she might be trying to tell you something.
Yeah, well, it's a clear sign. Might not be your woman if she doesn't want to be with you, or she's finding excuses not to come see you, or she basically is letting you know that, hey, I don't want to be with you on New Year's Eve. I don't want to be with you on Christmas. I want to be with you on your birthday. You know, those things are very, 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 popular in relationships. I mean, people don't want to see you on your birthday. You know, everybody, like I say, plays the fool sometimes. If you don't mess, I know a lot of men who've been hurt by love, you know, but they get over it. The thing about love is, can you get over it? Can you get over being played a fool? You know, everybody plays the fool, but can you get over being played a fool? Can you stand up? Can you come back and stand up? You know, this is the key. Can you still stand after love? Can you remain standing after love? A lot of people don't understand that you can't stand up, that you can't stand up. You know what I mean? You can mess around here and be what I call hurt by love, but if you don't stand up by love, or love kicks you down, then you're going to be hurt. We'll be right back. Everybody plays the fool. Maybe factual, maybe cruel, but lying eyes, loving eyes, can never see that the love's not going to be. It ain't going to be for you. You just put you love, but they don't love. Love in someone that don't love you is critical. When you just love them and you pour all yourself into this individual and they don't love you, surviving a divorce is an ideal aspect that you've been bamboozled, you've been played a fool, because the person goes and files for divorce. You've been with somebody 10, 15 years, and they have the audacity, the utmost goal, to go down and file for divorce without ever trying to repair the relationship, won't seek counsel, won't talk about it, won't try to resolve it. Their mind is made up, I don't want to be married to you anymore. But can you survive divorce? For a man, and this is from a male perspective, don't let divorce have you. If someone wants to divorce you, wish them well. God bless them. Say, hey, I wish you well. I wish you the best in your life. I wish you can make it with whatever you want to do, whatever you think you're going to do. But divorce is not going to have me. I'm going to be divorced, but I'm going to be me. And then when the person divorced you and they see you a year later, 2 years later, and you're still standing, divorce didn't have you. What's critical is when a woman divorced a man and divorce has him, and now she see him a year later, 2 years later, and he's not standing. He looking like a baboon drinking vinegar. Nobody wants him. He has no new love. And he has no life. He's looking like, she said, I'm glad I got rid of him. Or somebody asks, how's your ex-husband? Oh, man, I saw him on Skid Row the other day. You know, he's on drugs. That's when divorce is critical for a man. When you can look back, look at Donald Trump. Been mad 3 times. Divorce didn't have him. He may be crazy as all outdoors. And it definitely is what I call is a simple acting man, and he's probably more than some kind of racist, some kind of idiot. He ain't right in the head. But when it comes to his divorce, no divorce had him. He had a divorce. And he divorced. In some case, he was the implementer of the divorce, but they didn't have him. So you got to realize that life goes on, but you got to decide what you want to do. You might not.
Well, when you have that much money.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying
Go
when you have that much money, I was listening to you when you were talking about Donald Trump. I'm like, when you have that much money, I guess you can move on and smile. But I think a lot of times in situations, average situation, someone ends up out on the street, and that makes it different too. Think about it. If people have money, or if you're talking about rich people, I would think even with them, they might be hurt. But I think they're able to move on. You know, look at the celebrities and the stars when they're married, got millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah, it didn't work, and then they, you know, they move right on. That makes a difference too. But I think a prime example of what you're talking about, did you see the article about RG3? At least I saw it, you know, it was in an article that I read on yesterday where he's getting ready to go through a divorce. Did you see that one?
I saw that, yeah.
Russell? Yeah, so that's an example like what you're talking about. But yeah, because what his wife said, his current wife, it's almost like she, like you said, was bamboozled. It's almost like she was not expecting this. She still wants the relationship to work. You know, they have a 3-year-old child. According to the article, that was his high school sweetheart. But she said that, you know, she was hoping things would work out, and it's almost like a surprise to her. I didn't know we were getting divorced, but she said that, and the article stated that, she realized it was true when he had the other woman's name tattooed on his arm. So I think that's right in line with what you're talking about, Russell. It's like, you know, how does it get to that point, or why is it difficult to, you know, tell the person, hey, you're no longer the one, or I don't feel that I can make it. And that's what we're saying about being able to accept it and go on. It's never going to be easy, but when you go into that relationship, have some discussion about that. It might keep you from going in that direction. And I think communication is still the bottom line, because when you listen, when I read that and I was thinking about, you know, us talking about relationships, so I looked at it and I said, well, evidently communication was lacking somewhere, because if you're married to this NFL star and you were his high school sweetheart, you have a 3-year-old child, and he's getting ready to divorce you, you're not even aware of it, then evidently communication had to break down somewhere. I mean, would you agree with that, Russell, that it had to break down?
Well, she was, like I say, it wasn't about communication breakdown. She was hoodwinked. She was bamboozled. She was a what they call experienced in relationship fraud, because he could have told
right.
her. It didn't break down.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
broke
saying.
Down.
But see, he didn't talk. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
He said, I'm going to fraudulate your monkey behind. I don't like you no more, but I'm going to bamboozle you. I'm going to hoodwink your behind. I'm going to come up. I'm going to put another person's tattoo on my arm. You're going to hear this thing, man, sideways. So not that the communication broke down. He didn't want to communicate. He was letting her know, I'm going to let you know that I don't love you. I don't care nothing about you. And I'm going to do it. Sometimes people want to be fired. I tell people all the time in relationships, the dude, the woman says, how come he ain't coming? How come he don't do this? I saw him. My girlfriend said he saw my man with another woman in the restaurant. Hey, it ain't communication breakdown. He tried to say, fire me. I want to be fired. I'm doing all this stuff to let you know that this is my way of communicating. I'm telling you, like, I don't want you no more. And I want you to know that, hey, I don't want you. I don't respect you. I don't care about you. And I'm gonna make sure that I'm doing it the bad way. That's not the right way. That's the bad way. But people got to know that. Hey, you got to talk if you want to talk. But if you don't want to talk, then don't talk. I wish you well. This is what I'm telling you. This is a song to play when you gotta leave somebody. I wish you well.
I wish you blessed.
and kindness from above. I wish you truckloads of love. I wish you blessings from above. I wish you truckloads of love. I wish you well. I wish you friends that bring you joy. I wish you well, just as long as you ain't with my monkey behind no more. If you want to leave, leave me. But I believe in, I ain't never left nobody, man, in a relationship. God bless it, but leave me with dignity, because I'm going to be all right, because the first rule of thumb is I love me. Now, the key, when I come to you in a relationship, I'm coming with the love of me. I'm telling you straight up, I love me. Now, I don't need love for me, because I love me already. What I want you to do is look at me and the love I have for me and the overflowing of love that's around me, inside of me. And if that love looks so good to you, then you can love me too. You can add to the love of me. But if we're in a relationship and it gets to the point where you can't see the love I have for me and you don't understand that I love me so much and you decide you don't love me, God bless you. Leave me, but leave me with dignity, because I'm still going to be me to love. I'm going to have me to love. And when you, if people take that attitude, you can survive a relationship fraud. You can survive a relationship divorce. You can survive everything because you can look in the mirror and say, I love me. And that's what people do. People transfer that sometimes to they love Jesus. I've had people say, you know, I love Jesus. God can't help me because I love, they can't help. But if you can put it on yourself too and say, hey, look, come to the relationship on the first date. You should convey to that person on the first date as you buy the first drink and y'all are sitting there toasting to this new relationship start. Say, guess what? We're starting out with a relationship aspect of growing to something bigger or better. But I want you to know straight up, you look at a man who loves himself. I care about me. Now, would you like to care about me too? Because it's quite apparent I care something about you because you're sitting here across from me. I called you, picked you up, took you to the restaurant, bought you an appetizer, hoping to turn into an entree, and hopefully we can do some, what do you call it, foot kicking underneath the table. That's how much I like you. Now, where you at? get it out in the open. but let's be clear on this. If you don't want to kick my feet under this table, I still got 2 feet. I can put my 2 feet together and kick myself. I can play toes with me. And after you want to play toes with me, what do you want to do? And that way you got the thing out in the open and nobody can, you know, you can survive a relationship fraud. Give me your closing statements, Real.
Well, yeah, just before I go into that, as I'm listening, I was reminded of another incident where this man just recently had 3 children. His wife, you know, they were separated. She's getting ready to, like you said, go her own way, and he killed her, the 3 children, and then turned around and killed himself. Even he killed a family dog. So when you talk about that relationship fraud and, you know, people trying to move on as they should, that happens a lot of times too. And, you know, that's something that really needs to be discussed. You know, I don't encourage anyone to commit suicide, anyone. But if you opt to do that, why would you kill your wife, your children, if it's not working out, if someone's trying to move on? But in closing, I would say that we've given you some prominent signs of relationship fraud today. Because even as I was listening to Russell, like I said, hey, you're letting them know. But if you suspect something, whether it be the man or the woman, I would say you should inquire about it. And when I say inquire, that communication, hopefully the communication is already there, but inquire about it. And if you see something or you're not getting the answer, then you might have to be your own detective. But just know at the beginning, when you go into a relationship, when you're getting ready to make that commitment, just know, I mean, you're hopeful, but just know that it might not work for whatever reason. But I always think about what my mother said. You do all you can, speaking to the man and the woman. You do all you can if you want it to work. And if you don't want it to work, then don't leave the other person on. But if you want it to work, do all you can. Do what's right. And as my mother always says, make sure that if anything ever happens, you're not the one who has to apologize. And you can look at that in a deeper sense that later on you won't be the one having the regrets. Your conscience will be clear. So if you are forced to move on, because if someone else divorces you and you really don't want to go, you don't have any choice except to get stuck or move on. But make sure that your heart is clear, your mind is clear, and the only way you can do that is you do what you're supposed to do. So that's what I want to encourage.
Excellent point, excellent point. My closing statement is look deep before you leap. Make sure that you understand what you got instead of calling what it's not. Read the tea leaves. People show you and care about what they're doing to let you know that this thing is unraveling. You're not the one. I don't care about you like I did before. I don't love you like I did before. I don't love you at all. I never did love you. I thought I loved you. Some people think they're in love. Some people believe they're in love until something happens and then love leaves. You know, but like Bill Withers said in this other song by Bill Withers, who is he and what is he to you? You know, look at the tea leaves. See if somebody loves somebody else. See if somebody wants somebody else. But here's the key. If you find somebody, lay it all out. What do you want? What do you need? What can I fulfill the shoes? If you know you can't fulfill the shoes, then don't step in the shoes. Don't put your dog in that fight unless you understand what it's about. Don't take on a wife if you can't take on a wife. You don't have wife taking on capabilities. Say, why would you buy a car if you have nowhere to park it? Don't buy a car if you have nowhere to park it. Don't take on a wife if you have nowhere to put her. You can't put a roof over her head. You can't make sure she has life insurance, health insurance. You can't make sure she has food on her table. You got to be a husband, not a husband, or you'll soon be a husband. You're not going to be what she claims to be. You know, that's what people are running around. So I got a husband. You got to understand, what do you have? What kind of husband do you have? The husband, man, is the word, the letter H is in front of husband. You know what that H stands for? Heavenly. You got to be a heavenly man of God to be a husband, because the Bible lays it out what a husband is. And if you read the Bible and you realize what a husband's supposed to be, when a husband takes on a wife, he takes on something that's a special part of his life. It's like he loves the wife, he loves the church. All that's in the Bible. But if you don't have the heavenly aspect of a husband, then you're not a husband. You're what they call a husband. The H is off of you. So who are you? That's my husband. He ain't no husband. He's a husband. He's legally married to me, but he's not my husband. He's a husband. And if he keep acting a monkey fool, running around here gambling the money, can't pay the mortgage, don't have a car, don't have a way for me and my kids to get health insurance, then he's going to be what they call a husband, because he's going to be divorced. And when they bring your name up, they're going to say, he was my husband. But he's no longer my husband. So women are running around here with husbands and husbands. Now, how many women out there got a husband? It's very few in some cases. It's not easy to be a husband. The husband takes on a lot of responsibility. So most women and some women have what they call a husband, and they know what they got. They don't run around talking about, I got the world's greatest husband. He loves me. He's a great provider. No, they say, I got a husband now. He's a husband. And as long as they still keep the rings on their finger, they walk around with the rings on their finger, go to the grocery store, do all kind of things, come home, and got to take the groceries out the car by themselves because the husband is sitting there watching the football game. It's a husband. But they know what they got as they taking the groceries out the car while he's sitting on the top of the remote when they put the groceries on the shelf and start putting it away and look into the living room, and the husband says, you bring the beer? She says, I got the beer, honey. But in her mind, she says, I got a husband. I know what I got. He ain't no husband. I got a husband. So make it what you got to make it. But this is serious. This is today's relationship every Saturday morning. The lines lit up. You should have came on. We're going off the air now. But come out to my birthday party. Come out on August 31st. See what life is really about. See a man that's standing upright. You know what it is to see a black man that's standing upright. I'll be standing upright on my own 2 feet. I'm going to have my hands waving. I'm going to look around and see y'all. So see what it's like August 31st. Willie Cage. Phil Weathers, who is he and what is he to you? Tell me he's not someone just passing by. Who is he and what is he to you?
And when you cleared your throat, was that your cue? That comment, who is he and what is he to you?
That's the song there. Who is he and what is he to you? We'll see you next Saturday.
Now when I ask